creating a party atmosphere in motels was a method of operation for the woman convicted of sex trafficking. Then, during a custody battle, a woman in Indiana was found guilty of poisoning her ex-boyfriend's oatmeal and then strangling him to death with his favorite tie. It's another way to start the day. And a mom gets 5 years for abandoning a baby in a hot bath. That's just some of what we're going to talk about today on True Crime Today.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Said he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the program. We greatly appreciate that. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey there, Tony.
Hey, hey. Hey.
So I saw this story and it's not like this guy is an asshole of the week. Mm-hmm. He's almost like the good guy of the week.
There is an asshole of the week
within this story. But it totally, when I read this story, I was like, oh, Tony would do all this. Mm-hmm. But did you hear the story about the dad who rammed his truck into a car to stop the guy that his daughter thought was stalking her?
No.
Yeah, so it was... I'm trying to see where it was. I'm not sure, but it should be in here. I knew earlier today. But so the daughter was at work and she was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And she was going home and she called her dad because it was like 11 miles from work to home. Mm-hmm. So she's like, this guy is like tailing me.
Yeah.
And so she called her dad and her dad's like, don't stop, just keep on going to the house. So it said that like he was on her bumper using his flasher at one point to pull up beside her, went around her and braked right in front of her. So when she got into her subdivision, apparently, I bet she was on the phone with dad the whole way.
Yeah.
Her dad got into his pickup. The mom must have gotten in too. They were pissed. And the dad blocked the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy went around him in a yard and continued to follow her. And then the dad rammed him a second time with his truck and stopped him that time. And the guy got arrested.
So what the fuck was he doing? I mean, is this a guy that she knew?
No. And they arrested him on drunk driving, driving without a license, and other charges.
Shocking.
So he could have been drunk and he thought it was his ex-wife. I don't know. But I don't think he was that old. I think he was only like 24 or something like that.
Did he wonder if he was drunk or high or something? Maybe did he perceive that she did something to him in the road, like cut him off or something? And he was acting totally irrationally and doing that? I don't know. I mean, if you're on something, I suppose you could be set off fairly easily.
Exactly. And the dad did get traffic citations.
For protecting his daughter?
Yeah. I guess he probably should have. But, you know, the thing is that you could call 911 at that time.
They're not going to get there in time. And the guy's
what has he done?
Free.
He exactly. hasn't done anything yet. It's like, oh, I think this guy's following me. And 911 would be like, well, what has he done to you? Has he hurt you? Has he threatened you? No,
exactly.
No, but I feel threatened. Well, that's not a crime.
Yeah.
And so the dad did what he had to do. And then the mom was, she fell out of the truck and got hurt. So I don't know what exactly that was about. She was probably pissed. Who's going to go after him?
Yeah.
I would be.
Sure.
If I thought somebody was stalking my daughter and, you know, the fact that he followed her all 11 miles, the daughter was right.
Yeah.
Something was going on with this guy.
Yeah. There's something seriously wrong. Yeah. Good for the dad.
He got all the way home. So there, it's kind of a good guy of the week and an asshole of the week all at the same time.
Not an asshole. He's fucking great. Hero.
No. The guy who followed her. He's the asshole.
Yes. Yes. I totally get that.
Yep. Yes.
Well, there we go. I like that.
I'm like, oh my God, when I read it, I'm like, Tony Bruschi would do that.
Without a fucking doubt.
I know you would.
Except it would go further. Thank you for that one. That was interesting. That's the uplifting story.
You're welcome, Tony.
It picks you up and makes you feel good for your work day here. True Crime Today. So this party atmosphere, creating a party atmosphere in motels, was a method of operation for the woman convicted of sex trafficking. Here we go. 44-year-old woman was recently given a prison term of little more than 17 years for sex trafficking minors across Northern California and Southern Oregon. Why is it that someone who sex traffics people gets like next to no sentence? This is something where it's like, if you're engaging in this and you think this is a good idea at any point in your life, you're done. There shouldn't be like a, well, let's reset the clock and maybe you'll realize the errors in your ways.
Yeah,
it's like, no, this person is an error. It's not an error in their ways. They are the error. After receiving information that a runaway female juvenile from Modesto, California, age 15, was possibly staying at a Motel 6 in Medford, Oregon, on May 10th at around 5:13 a.m., police responded to the motel. It was stated that the adolescent was missing on April 29th, 2019. The missing girl, along with another female of the same age, Luscious James Roy, here's a name, and Dwanell Santiago, both of Stockton, California, were located in the room, according to the police. The inquiry led detectives to believe that Roy and Santiago conspired to traffic the lost girl from California to Oregon, furnishing her with marijuana and engage her in prostitution, as police put it. The United States Attorney for the Eastern District of California had stated that there was numerous victims. At a trial, evidence revealed that between September 2018 and May 2019, Santiago enlisted teenage girls in Northern California and Southern Oregon for prostitution. These girls were between the ages of 15 and 17. Santiago threw parties in motels in Stockton and Salinas and plied the girls with wine and narcotics in order to get them to engage in sexual acts with random men. They say they would put up advertising of the victims online and drive them to truck stops and motels where they'd have sexual encounters with males for cash. The Attorney General's office announced Santiago's sentence of three charges for child sex trafficking and one count of transferring a minor for the purpose of illegal sexual behavior on Monday, August 29th. He was given a total of 17 years and 7 months probation. Why only that? This is like the scourge of fucking society.
And what's so sad is that, you know, these kids left probably, I don't know, an abusive family life. There was a reason why the kid left.
Yes.
And, you know, I get that some kids leave for, they don't have a horrible childhood. I don't know. Anyway, but then they encounter these people along the way. And, you know, here they are 15 years old, 14 years old. They don't have money. They don't have a place to live. And then these people are super nice and super cool. And it's like, oh, you're so nice. You're giving me a place to live. And then next thing you know, this is what it's all about.
You got to do this if we're going to get by. And, you know, yeah, it's just that. And
it's like, I did that for you. And then these poor kids can't get out of it. And they move them around the country. And it's just horrific what they have to go through. And I don't understand that. How you could, you're treating a person and a child, no less, like it's just an object.
How does this even fucking work? It's so weird underground shit, it seems, but it's like it's out there, and this is like something that people are engaging in around us, and it's
and have it's been forever
scary. Like, who are these people? Because then you hear about it, like, well, so and so was busted for engaging with this. Like, how the fuck did they get into that? The fucking doctor, whatever. It's like, who? Okay, and if that one person's into it, you got to know there's other people in those higher up places that just haven't been busted yet.
Yeah. And, oh God, yeah.
And well, just how does this fucking happen? How is this? I guess I'm really glad I'm not part of circles of, like, I guess some sort of upper weird echelon that this is like something that goes on. I'd be kicked out immediately because I'd be like, fucking Chris Hansen, we need to do a special here right now. I don't get it. I don't fucking get it. Mm-mm. But it's there and it's right underneath our noses. I think there's a lot of this shit going on And I think there's going to be a lot more within like Hollywood and stuff where this gets exposed, and beyond Hollywood. I just think rich, affluent people. I mean, take, for example, fucking Jeffrey Epstein's travel log. Why on earth can we not see that? Why has that not been revealed?
Yeah.
Why is that still some sort of evidence that can't come out?
Because there's Bill Gates' name in there.
There's Bill Clinton
that.
In there.
I'm just saying that. There is. But Bill Clinton's name could be in there.
There's all sorts of people in there. There's Tom Hanks in there. There's a lot of people in there.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah. And there's a lot.
No.
There's a lot of people, I think, that we would find out were like, just the same way Cosby blew up, there's a lot more people that are ready to fucking burn should any of that information ever come out. You know, why is Ghislaine Maxwell not singing yet? I just think there's a lot of dark shit going on that I think a lot of us brushed off for a long time, saying, I don't think that's real. That seems like a conspiracy theory. But guess what? I think a lot of them are fucking real. And when you see shit like this that comes to light, like the Epstein's, it kind of confirms some of this really dark shit. It's going on.
You know, and I think, you know, it's always gone on, but now with the internet and cell phones and the Snapchats and the Instagrams and the,
yeah,
all the various ways you can communicate, it makes it really easy.
There's been a lot of ways that a lot of this stuff has been hidden too. And it's when you start digging into it, it really gets fucking creepy and weird. And a lot of it is very, 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 very verifiable. Bad.
And these are kids. And, yeah. I think, you know, there's a place in hell for those people who are trafficking them.
Oh, sure.
But there are people, there's a market for that. That's why they're trafficking them. And so if they're not arresting the guys or not going after the guys who are having sex.
Yeah.
Raping.
Well, you're like your
young
prince,
girls.
Yeah, the prince, what's his name?
Andrew.
Prince Andrew. That sort of shit. I don't know who this is. Really? You got your arm around her here in 98, and she's like, what, 16, 17? And you're like late 20s, early 30s or something? Bullshit.
Oh, no. I think he was like in his 40s at
that
time.
Was he? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it's like, bullshit, you didn't know what's going on. And bullshit, anybody who got on that fucking plane didn't know what Epstein was about. It's just...
Agreed.
I mean, the moment that it was rumored that Gates was on the fucking list is when Melinda said, fuck off. So, I think there's a lot to be coming out at some point. During a custody battle, a woman in Indiana was found guilty of poisoning her ex with oatmeal. And then strangling him to death with his favorite tie. So you get a little oatmeal, which maybe tastes delicious, maybe a little mapley, maybe there's some bacon in there. I think if you're going to poison somebody with oatmeal, you probably want to overdo it on the accessories and the condiments. So it hides the poison taste.
Yeah.
So you probably had this delicious bowl of oatmeal that kind of weird, bizarre feeling of looking at a bottle of Ajax or Mr. Clean while eating it. The bacon. A 42-year-old mother was convicted guilty of murdering her child's father last week by poisoning his porridge and strangling him with his favorite necktie. I think that's the title of the show, Poisoning His Porridge. That's the title of this episode. According to the court documents on Tuesday, August 23rd, Heidi Littlefield was convicted guilty of murder on two counts of conspiracy to commit murder. On March 25th, 2021, Littlefield, her daughter Logan Ryan, and Ryan's boyfriend Robert James Walker were all arrested in connection with the killing of Francis Kelly. The 22-year-old Ryan and the 29-year-old Walker were both charged with two counts of conspiracy to commit murder, while the murder case against Ryan was dropped. Cromwell police say on January 18th, they responded to the death investigation at a residence in the 14,000 block of Howe Drive when they discovered Kelly dead. According to the autopsy results, he was murdered. According to the Indianapolis Star, Kelly was murdered by Littlefield during a heated custody battle with her 2-year-old son. As part of the deal with the prosecution, Rayon testified against her mother in her trial. She admitted to participating in a plot to kill someone and was given a 26-year prison term as a result of her guilty plea. Reports that Littlefield paid Walker $2,500 to hire a hitman to hit Kelly, but that Walker and Rayon instead spent the money on drugs and other stuff. According to Rayon's testimony, Littlefield instructed her to acquire fentanyl from Ohio drug dealers, then mix it with his oatmeal. The lady apparently also added some to his miso soup. Kelly was allegedly given fentanyl 3 times. So there you go. You got the oatmeal, then we have like miso for lunch. At Kelly's house, Littlefield and Rayon discovered him struggling to breathe on January 14th, 2021. According to reports, Littlefield ordered Rayon to break his neck, but the latter was unable to do so due to the man's excessive bulk. In his room, Littlefield allegedly found the victim's favorite tie and used it as a makeshift noose. He was found to have died of strangulation, according to the coroner. WKRC-TV reports that Walker admitted to participating in the murder plot and pled guilty. A 10-year prison term was imposed against him. The court has set Littlefield's sentencing for the month of October.
So they poisoned him with what drug again?
Fentanyl.
Wow.
Which doesn't take all that much.
That poor guy didn't even know it happened.
No. And the fact that even a fucking drug exists like that and it's so easy to get is insane. Wow. Like, it don't take much to kill you with that shit.
No.
Enjoy your porridge. Poisoning of porridge.
I didn't even know people ate porridge anymore. It's I thought oatmeal. That was like an English thing from the...
Isn't oatmeal porridge? Isn't it the same thing?
2 centuries. I have no idea. But does anybody call it porridge in
the
U.S.?
I think like Winnie the Pooh called it porridge. Did it? That's where I knew the term porridge, I think, was Winnie the Pooh. Is porridge oatmeal? Let's little learn. Porridge is a hot cereal made of boiling grains and legumes in milk, broth, or water. So, yes, it is... It's similar.
Basically.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it made it sound old timey till he got poisoned with fentanyl.
It did. You almost had to.
Because if you would have said arsenic, I'd have been like, is this from the 1800s?
It almost felt kind of warm and cuddly. It's like, ooh, porridge. And then poison.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, shit. This isn't good. So, wow. Well,
yeah, the poor guy. That's just sad.
Not a way that you want to go. You don't want to die by death by porridge. That's, yeah. That'd be, it's almost like.
The only good thing about it is that he probably went relatively fast. Like, I don't know. I would think it would kind of be like all of a sudden you're just really high and then. I don't know. I don't know what would happen to you.
I don't know what that shit does. I mean, I know it like...
Sad.
Yeah.
Just go your own way. Like, yeah, because you're willing to do that to keep custody of your kid. You're a great parent. Like, that's exactly the custodial parent of the year award.
That's,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like, you can't have custody. I'm going to kill you. I'm a better parent.
Yeah. It's, I can't imagine thinking, oh, this is a great idea. Let's poison them. Mom gets 5 years for abandoning baby in a hot bath.
I don't know if I can listen to this one.
Last Monday, a 35-year-old woman was given a 5-year prison sentence for abandoning her newborn daughter in hot water, resulting in severe burns. According to court records from Wichita County, Texas, on August 25th, Jessica Bashir was sentenced after pleading guilty to child endangerment. She'll serve the remainder of her sentence at the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, where she was given credit for 54 days already spent there. The accusation against Bashir states that on June 29, 2017, she failed to verify the water temperature before placing her daughter in the bathtub. The indictment claims that Bashir's failure to thrive is a result of her failure to voluntarily deliver the kid to a certified infant care facility provider after she saw her daughter in boiling water. The youngster had second-degree burns all over her body, so she was taken to a hospital and flown to Parkland Burn Unit, according to KFDX/KJTL-TV. We combine everything. Her buttocks, her legs, feet, and ankles made up 17% of her burned body, according to reports. Bashir allegedly stated that she submerged her daughter in hot water after turning on both the hot and cold water taps to the baby tub. She says she pulled her kid out of the pool when she started making noises, but physicians are pulling the time in just 1 or 2 minutes. KFDX KJTL state that the girl was seven months old at the time of the event. As for Bashir's other four kids, they've all been taken away from her. In 05, she lost custody of her first kid after the father was accused of smearing feces in the infant's face. It's been stated that Bashir's then boyfriend, who was a meth dealer, caused the removal of the kid born in 07. Another good choice in mates. The child's health was questioned in 2010 due to a rapid weight loss 3 years later, and Bashir was found of forgery around the same time. But they kept giving the kids back. This is the fucked up part. Since she allegedly failed to appear in court in 2012, her fourth kid has been taken from her. But we just keep going, oh, you keep shitting them out? It's yours until you break it.
Yeah, this is why, like, people, not everybody should be a parent.
Exactly.
She doesn't have what it takes to parent. And there's no way you wouldn't have known that the water was that hot. Because if it was that hot, like, you had to place the baby in the water. You don't just toss the baby into the water. You'd have felt how hot that water was.
That's what you're assuming, is that she didn't toss the baby into the water.
You're right.
I think that's a big assumption. And honestly, I think
this whole thing could have been done on purpose.
I think there's a lot of people out there that are just that dumb. And I in some ways, I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't realize the water was hot. Because I think there's some people that are just that dumb. And they're, holy shit, I can't, like, well, how did this happen? It's like, they could, like, fucking light their clothes on fire and go, why am I burning? There's an element of society that is of a lower intelligence than The Walking Dead.
Yeah. And they have kids.
And these kids are, like, living with zombies. So imagine zombies raising a child. That's a good portion of our country, kids. And that's the real scary part. And it's really a not far off analogy. It really isn't. In some areas, it's like, holy shit, the apocalypse has happened. There's these kids running around. They seem to be kind of like with it. Oh, there's mom over. What is she doing? She's on the ground. Oh, I don't know what's going on over there. And the kids are just kind of running amok until they find whatever fucking shit mom's on. And then they turn into that too. Mm-hmm. It's a scary place. A former superintendent in Ohio is being accused of kidnapping four students. That's a ballsy move if you're the superintendent.
Jesus.
Last week, a former school superintendent was arrested after he allegedly kidnapped two kids and offered them money to babysit his four-year-old son. On August 25th, investigators from the Huntington Police Department, SWAT team, Huntington Violent Crime Drug Task Force, and the Barboursville Police Department arrested 59-year-old William Morrison III on two charges of kidnapping, as stated in a joint release. Morrison, according to police in Huntington, lured two children into his vehicle. On August 17th, both Morrison's Huntington home and his Barboursville flat, so he had two places, searched by investigators acting on warrants. Court filings obtained by WBNS-TV state that Morrison approached a boy and a girl aged 9 and 12 in his black SUV and offered them $20 to watch his child. After putting the kids in the car, Morrison allegedly pretended to check the tire and ordered the boy out. As soon as the boy exited the vehicle, Morrison allegedly took off. The youngster reportedly began sobbing and pleading with the driver to get her out of the vehicle. According to the accusation, Morrison doubled the babysitting fee from $100 to $200. According to the documents, which were cited by NBC News, police said the male refused the girl's demands to be allowed out of the vehicle, but the girl was able to open a passenger door and flee the vehicle a few streets away.
Good.
The reported kidnapping did not result in any harm being done to either child. It was reported in 2017 by the Columbus Dispatch that Morrison, the superintendent of the Hamilton Local School District in Columbus, Ohio, was fired after police discovered crack cocaine in his car. In his exchange for his plea deal, Morrison received a sentence of 180 days in jail with 176 days suspended for the misdemeanor offense of possession of a counterfeit controlled substance. For the time being, Morrison is a prisoner at the Western Regional Jail. So what the fuck goes through your mind where you're like, let's go kidnap some kids today?
And I'm going to tell them I need a babysitter.
I need a babysitter. That's a new line. I haven't heard that one. Although I'm not really familiar with what people say to the kids like this. But I'm always thinking like the ice cream truck and that sort of stuff. I got a kitten or a puppy or candy. I need a babysitter is a new one.
And you know the kid said no right off the bat. They're like, that's just sick.
It's not like an appealing offer. Like, I don't want to babysit. Why did you do puppy? Why did you do candy? Like, babysitter? That just seems weird.
Thank God that girl got out.
No kidding. No.
Quick thinking, you know, like, did what she had to do.
I guess my question here is, what so dramatically changed in this individual to going from being the fucking superintendent of a school district to this? I mean,
and there was drugs, right? You said,
yeah, there were. Well, in this initial, that's the reason he got fired back then, because they found crack cocaine in his car, and then they fired him in 2017. So I'm guessing it hasn't been like a let's learn from our mistakes and go do some TED talks about how I changed my life. It was more like let's do more crack cocaine and a whole bunch of other shit that somehow my mind now equates the idea of abducting two children as, hey, fun Friday afternoon.
But he could have done it before.
Well, it makes you wonder if this is not the first time, quite honestly. I mean, someone who's doing this, what are your odds of getting caught on the first time?
Probably
not the greatest. Over time, you know, you keep doing any sort of criminal offense, over time, you will get caught. You're not going to beat it every time. But that's the thing. It usually takes quite a few attempts for somebody to hit the police found you jackpot and get arrested. So, I don't know.
Messed up. That is messed up stuff.
Yeah, not something you ever really want to come and encounter with the individual of that nature.
No.
Let's see here. Let me go over to this. An 82-year-old Florida man accused of fatally stabbing wife and battering several people. I don't know what the fuck is going on here, but there are so many stories of old people really doing horrible shit lately. Like, how are you even like finding the strength to do some of this? Because I'm sitting here at 40 and I'm like, oh, that'd be a fucking workout. Like, if you're going to go through this, like, that to kill people, like, I don't know if I could keep up with that without getting really winded. But you got these 82-year-olds that are like, fucking Rambo. I don't know. Are these people, is it meth? Is it drugs that are, like, giving them super strength?
I would say probably, maybe, but adrenaline could be it.
Yeah, I mean, something's fucking hyping up these old people, and they're turning into the fucking Hulk. This is from True Crime Daily. An 82-year-old man faces charges of allegedly stabbing his wife to death at the end of July. On Tuesday, July 26th at approximately 11:55 a.m., Marion County Sheriff's Office deputies responded to a mobile home to perform a well-being check on Ronald Foreman, according to the Marion County Sheriff's Office. At the scene, Foreman was allegedly battering five victims. So yeah, like a whole fucking crew of people in there.
Yeah, he was being like the Hulk.
Foreman was reportedly arrested and charged with battery on a person 65 years of age and older, four counts of battery and resisting officers without violence. A resident in the mobile home park told deputies he discovered Foreman's wife's body in the home and said Foreman had been knocking on the door at all hours the past several days. During a search of Foreman's home, deputies found his wife, Sandra Foreman, deceased. And sheriff's office said deputies reportedly found a knife on top of the blanket that was covering her and the bloodstains throughout the home. During an interview, Foreman reportedly told authorities that his wife had been stabbed to death and a homicide investigation was launched. Foreman, who authorities might have suffered from a mental health issue, allegedly told other inmates in jail that he killed his wife. In addition to multiple counts of battery, Foreman was charged with homicide, murder, dangerous, depraved without premeditation, records show. Foreman remained held in Marion County Jail without bond and is scheduled to appear in court on October 4th. So we have the 82-year-old who gets held without bond, yet you have like these child molesters and shit that are like, $10,000 bond.
Yeah. Time served.
Time served. You're out. You fucked the kid, but at least you're not an 82-year-old that's killing the folks in the trailer park. Holy shit.
Well, and you have to wonder at 82, excuse me, if there was some dementia involved. Because dementia can, like, people get really strong. They can do some damage.
Yeah.
Like, if they hit you or, you know, and, you know, because for an 82-year-old to kill somebody, it just makes you think maybe there was dementia.
Wait for this.
Who knows?
Wait for this fucking monster that we're going to have created here at some point in time. The 82-year-olds that are meth addicts, because there's not a lot of them right now. But
I don't think there will be, because the odds of being a meth addict into your 80s would be hard.
I don't know. I think you're going to get people that age and they'll end up experimenting more. The ones who didn't do it at earlier ages, you know, you're going to have some that are going to try it later in life. And then I think you're going to have this dementia, methed out, strength, crazy zombie thing going on where it's like this, but there's going to be more of it.
That's some crazy shit.
Look what you get to look forward to. Look at all the new content we're going to have. It's, you know, see the bright side, Carol.
I guess so. There's always a silver lining, Tony.
When you get methed out 82-year-olds, fuck yeah. That's a good day here at the podcast. No, it's totally fucked up. But I don't know. I mean, all you can do is kind of sit here and go, what the fuck? And how about we do some sort of thing to help these people? But that usually isn't the most popular answer. So I don't know. I guess we just keep pointing it out as being absurd and hope something fucking happens. I don't know. But there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. Thank you guys for listening. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download the podcast. You don't miss any episodes of the show. Leave us a review there as well. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at True Crime Today, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
True Crime Today. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our full episodes, breaking news updates, and daily briefs from True Crime Today.